And a good Saturday morning to you. I am joined this morning from the University of Minnesota, Mary Myers, back with us. Hi, Mary.
Danny, good morning. I think it's spring now, for real.
I think it's safe to say you are correct. Yes, a beautiful day. In fact, it's going to be a great weekend. And the good news is, for those of us who are, and there are many, who want some rain, and I think we're going to get it this coming week, so that's good news.
Yes, very good news for gardeners.
Absolutely. My lawn could really use it, too, as a matter of fact. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Mary, and you know, if you're a regular listener, you know how busy we get during this hour. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Mary, we were already getting a ton of text messages just before you went on the air here. Here is the very first one. Texter says, jumping the gun maybe a bit, but should I start to see my dormant seed grass begin to sprout, and should I be watering on warm days like today?
Yes, we should expect to see dormant seeding. You know, we had the longest period ever to do dormant seeding, I think, this past few months. And yes, as soon as we have the soil temperatures are getting close to 50 degrees now, and air temperature like in the 70s today, wow, we should start to see some germination. Now, many of the grasses, Kentucky bluegrass, fescues, even when you get to the right temperature, it can take 2 to 3 weeks for the seed to actually germinate and show up. But it will start to show it now. And, you know, we've been lucky. We've had a couple of rains, another one predicted. But if your soil is sandy and light, I would consider watering if it doesn't rain. Yes.
Good point. I am starting to see, yesterday I was looking at where I had done some dormant seeding. So some of it is sprouting. So that's good news. This listener, Mary, said, and we should talk a little bit about this. Can I have my lawn dethatched now in April? What is the idea of dethatching, and is it necessary?
It might be necessary. We usually recommend it in the fall because you get the best results. The grass itself grows stronger roots in the fall. But this, you can do it if you have a really thick lawn. So if you walk on your lawn and it's really thick and it's spongy, if you try to dig down in it, and it's hard, it's difficult because there's so much plant material, which is the buildup that's called thatch. If you think it's a couple inches till you can get to some soil, then yes, it's a good idea to use rent a dethatcher. Rarely does an individual have that, but you can rent them, and they either do slits or they actually do the aeration of throwing out plugs of soil so that it opens up your lawn. But not every lawn needs it. I've only done it, I think, once in 30 years on my lawn because I don't have a big thatch buildup. So I would examine it. You can look more on the extension website, and you can see a discussion about thatch and pictures of it.
Yes, indeed. Extension.umn.edu. We'll be mentioning that throughout the show. Mary, let's get a phone call in here. George is checking in from Osseo this morning, I believe. George, thank you, George. What is your question for Mary?
Good, beautiful Saturday morning, folks. I've been curious and contemplating taking cuttings from willow trees. I've seen it online and stuff where you clip about 18 inches off of a willow and then just put it in water, and they put out some roots and put it into soil, and you have yourself a willow tree. Sounds pretty simple. And they said snip off all the little leaves and stuff going up to the tip of it. Any suggestions you have for types of soil, perhaps fluid that I'd put around for the initial rootings, and then planning on planting these in number over in like about a 4-acre place in over by the Wisconsin Dells, and just any tips you have for just that type of action to create more willow trees.
George, that's a great idea. I've been trying to do that with pussy willows, with the salix, the willow that's native. But with weeping willow, if that's one you want to try, that's fine as well. So I usually try to get these to root in water first, but a commercial person would do it in soil or a sand, a light media, and a commercial person would have one of these mist timers on, like you see in the vegetable produce department, that, you know, every couple of minutes the mist comes on. So you need a really moist environment to get these to root. I don't have a mist system, so I have tried and been successful doing this in water. But the another thing you need that would really help you is a rooting hormone. And you could buy these in garden center stores. It's a powder that has the hormone on that you dip the end of the cutting in and then put that in soil, and that helps it to root more quickly. So, and then I would not take the foliage off. You talked about taking the leaves off. Only if you have an excess amount of leaves and you're doing this in the summer. But in the spring now, as things are starting to grow, I would leave the get a cutting that has some visible buds on it, and then just they will push out on their own, and they need that those leaves to grow in order to produce the roots. So you could try water, you could try rooting hormone in a light potting soil and keep it in a moist environment. You could even try putting the whole pot in a plastic bag to keep it moist environment. You could even try putting the whole pot in a plastic bag to keep it moist environment. Willows are fairly easy to root, so good luck with that.
All right, very good. Texter says this, Mary, I recently bought a ZZ plant. You'll have to tell me what that is. What should I know about watering and the light conditions?
A ZZ plant is a great indoor plant. The botanical name, both the genus and the epithet, they both start with Z. So rather than say the long botanical name, ZZ plant is an easy name for it. It has a plasticky look to me. It's very, very shiny leaves, but extremely easy to grow indoors. Doesn't need much water, has a big, thick leaf to it, and a huge stem that holds a lot of water. And it's very tolerant of low light. So I would say you could put it in almost any window in your house. It doesn't have to have direct sunlight, but it does need light that's good enough to read by. And then watering, I would not water it very often. When you do water, depending on the size of the pot, it might be every 10 days it needs watered, and just don't overwater it.
Okay. A listener says, can I transplant rhubarb this weekend, and when can I transplant a hardy hibiscus?
Yes, you could do both of those. Right now, this weekend. Either of those. The transplanting rhubarb now might affect the production of it this spring, but and you can probably see it starting to grow, so you know exactly where it is. And the hardy hibiscus, same thing. You can transplant that now.
Very good. Mary, hang on. We'll take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on our Lawn and Garden Show, our Smart Garden Show. Call us or text us with your lawn and garden question at 651-461-9226. Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those very questions this morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, we mentioned it just a bit ago, but let's bring to light that great U of M website, extension.umn.edu. It is so full of great information.
Yes, tons of information and lots of new seasonal information. We have some new guides for pruning shrubs that are up there, new pages on weeds and lawns. Lots of people will be out working on their lawns now. So just a tremendous number of resources. And you can always sign up for the Yard and Garden newsletter, which is an e-newsletter that comes out regularly with timely tips. So yes, extension.umn.edu.
It is so great. You know what else is great? Our listeners. We have tons of them by phone and by text, Mary. So let's get back to business. Lynn's calling in first up here from White Bear Lake. Hi, Lynn. What is your question?
Good morning. My daughter has two peony bushes, and we need to relocate them. Could we do that this weekend?
You can if you're in a pinch, yes. We usually recommend moving peonies in the fall of the year because that's when they're really dormant. But you can do it now. You will probably sacrifice their blooming this spring. Just remember that peonies have a root system that is huge. It is huge, and it's hard to get all of it. It's a great big thick root system. You'll think you're digging up a tree when you start moving peonies, but just get as much as possible. Try to plant the roots the same depth they were growing before, because peonies are sensitive about how deep they're planted. But good luck with that.
Texter says this, Mary, when you put grass seed down in the fall, you're supposed to not let it dry out for a few weeks. Texter says, I did a little dormant seeding this winter. Now that it's warming up, should I be following that same protocol and keep it moist?
Yes. Actually, I don't usually recommend watering a dormant seed in the fall because you really don't want it to start growing.
Right.
You don't want it to wash away and go somewhere else. And sometimes moisture helps it to work it into the soil. But usually you just want to get it down there, and then it will on its own take up moisture in the winter and then be a head start, kind of a head start for the spring. So if you feel it's really dry, you can water it now, because now, from now on, we should have sufficiently warm temperatures that any lawn seed that germinates, it's not going to die from extreme cold.
Right. All right. Again, 651-461-9226, a text or a call. Speaking of phone calls, Ken is calling in from Blaine this morning. Ken, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've had a large bed of Passandra that survived winters. You know, Passandra doesn't normally lose their foliage in the wintertime, but this year it's just destroyed the winter. I think it's the winter destroyed the bed of Passandra. Now there's just the stems and so forth that are dead, and it's just a mess. Now, is there root that will grow this spring that are still active or not?
I think so, Ken. Yes, Passandra is one of our good broadleafed evergreen ground covers. It can get a disease called anthracnose, which is a foliage disease. And last summer, I had, believe it or not, with the weather conditions, what they were, anthracnose was rampant in my Passandra last year. But the roots and a lot of the stolons or the stems that root are still okay. Usually it will just kill back the foliage on it. So I think that you will be okay. You know, we want these plants to have moisture for their roots, but moisture on foliage is tough to, and that encourages anthracnose on Passandra. So if you do any watering, make sure that it's deep and not very frequent. But I think your Passandra will come back, because anthracnose is usually more of a nuisance, killing the top off and not fatal.
All right. Listener says or asks, is it too late to prune plum trees, apple trees, or grapevines?
No, I would go ahead and do that. Once we get into the foliage coming out and so on, it's less effective than it is if you do it early. But pruning in our fruit trees is really important to help get fruit and to have fruit every year instead of every other year. So I would go ahead and do that now.
Another listener, Mary, wants to know, is it too early to transplant a shrub rose and a sedum plant?
You can do that now. The soil is still cool. Sometimes where the shrub grows, I think you can easily see the stems on that, and probably the sedum too. My sedum has started to grow. So sometimes early transplanting, it's hard to tell where is that plant, you know, but yes, you can do both of those right now.
Mary, a listener bought a dry root peony bush tuber that they bought at the Home and Garden Show. Can they plant that now?
Yes, I would definitely plant that now. Yes, the State Horticulture Society had a lot of plants, bare root plants, and yes, you should go ahead and plant those now. The sooner you plant them, the better, because anything that's bare root, it's really hard for that plant to survive indefinitely in a plastic bag. So, yeah, go ahead and plant that.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Bill is calling in this morning from Vadnais Heights, I believe. Hi, Bill. What is your question for Mary?
I'll be putting in some mulch in an area that has a gentle slope, and I'm wondering what I can put on top of that to hold it in place, keep it from washing away in a rain.
That's a good question, Bill. Usually we hope the mulch will stay there and keep the soil from eroding. Other than plants or some rocks, etc., I'm hard pressed to tell you what else to put on there. So I guess the amount, I would not put a huge amount of it on, a smaller amount of it, and hopefully it won't wash away. You said it's a gradual, and so good luck. I would just not put a lot of it. And if really what will hold the soil with erosion are plants. So putting some plants in is the best idea.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Before we break for weather, let's grab another phone call. Barb calling in from Maplewood this morning. Hi, Barb. What's your question for Mary Meyer?
Well, I don't have a question, but I have an interesting story about rabbits and petunias.
Okay.
Now that we're starting to plan our gardens again, 4 years ago during COVID, I discovered 3 new colors of petunias at the nurseries. One was a burnt gold, another was orange, and another was called cinnamon. And it was, I love this color, and I bought them and planted them in a formal garden in front of my orange front double doors. And I love the design of it, and during COVID, my garden was absolutely gorgeous. And I love the design of it, and during COVID, my garden was absolutely gorgeous, and I mixed them with coleus of different shades of rust and bright green. Well, the second year, I did the same, and all of a sudden, petunias were chewed to the ground overnight, and I replaced every one of them 5 times, which was foolish, but I was determined to have the same look. The third year and last year, I discovered that cinnamon was the favorite, and they tried the other colors but spit them out. But the cinnamon were chewed right to the ground. And last year, I was determined that I was going to solve this problem. And I bought 6 yards of mosquito netting and covered them every night, uncovered them every morning. And the bunnies had tried to chew above the cinnamon color. And so there were little holes there, but didn't have any luck getting them out. So I was very happy about that. Well, let's see. After the first snow this year, the snow started melting, and I saw this gray rock in that same area where the petunias were, and I uncovered it, and the snow melted, and it wasn't a rock. It was a large dead rabbit.
Right
on the spot where all these petunias had been. So anyway, if anybody plants these colors of petunias and they disappear, get some mosquito netting, and that's what you got to do to have them looking nice. This year I'm going to put them on shepherd's hooks up so I don't have to go into the garden.
What a story.
What a story, Barb. Thanks for your perseverance with the wildlife.
Oh, those rabbits, they are wily. Mary, hang on. We're going to have a look at that forecast. Looks pretty nice, and I think we're going to get some showers. We will find out. And then we'll be back with more Smart Garden here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. This morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those particular lawn and garden questions. We have many, so many this morning. Generally speaking, this texture, I'm sure there are a few others similar. Looking for grass seed. A lot of places, stores are having certain grass seed on sale. This person doesn't know anything about what they're looking for. What should you be looking for around these parts? What types of grass seed for our lawns?
Well, this is a great question for this time of year because, as we talked about earlier, the soil temperatures are just getting right for grass seed germination. So we still rely on three big ones here in cool season grass territory: Kentucky bluegrass, fine fescues, and perennial ryegrass. So all three of those are pretty expensive grass seed. So the really inexpensive grass seed, if you find something, you know, for $2 or £2 for $2 or something like that, that's probably an annual grass. It's not really one of the ones that will live and come back year after year for your lawn. So grass seed is expensive. So paying for it is worth it. It's also, the law requires the label to really tell you what's in there. So you can get a sunny lawn mix as a combination of Kentucky bluegrass, fine fescue, and perennial rye usually. And a shady lawn mix is usually the fine fescue. So depending on your site, you can look for those and get a combination of seed, and then it will kind of sort itself out depending on what your site is. You know, one thing to go along with this, Denny, we haven't talked about this, is the crabgrass control.
Oh, yeah.
And now is the time to do crabgrass control because that's a pre-emergent. So you put this chemical down and it prevents crabgrass seed from germinating. Crabgrass is just an annual. You cannot use grass seed that you want to grow and the pre-emergent control together. So you have to choose, do I want to sow grass seed or do I want to control crabgrass? But we just have this short window of a few weeks. It's pretty early this year, but the soil temperatures are there where crabgrass will be germinating now. So I would say that this week and next week are prime time to put down the pre-emergent control.
Good point. Listener Mary says, any idea of how to get rid of southern daisies in our raised beds?
I wonder what southern daisy is. Leucanthropa, maybe, in a raised bed. So this is a perennial, but boy, I would just say try digging out the roots as much as possible. Perennials do have a large root system. The other thing I would do is really try to get that plant identified to make sure you know exactly what it is you have. Sometimes with a picture, you can send that in to Ask a Master Gardener. There are also plant ID apps that you can use. iNaturalist is a good one. Sometimes it can tell you what the plant is without the flowers. Having the flowers or really good, the normal size leaves is often important, but I would make sure you know exactly what that plant is.
Okay. Here's an interesting question. Does stringing lights in an apple tree and having them on all night harm the tree or the apples?
It could. Probably not the string itself. What's going to influence the tree is the light. and the amount of light emitted by the lights itself. You know, our plants are very sensitive to light. The light and the day length really regulates their growth. 24-hour lighting on plants is often detrimental. It's, you know, it's like they never have a rest period or a down period. So the amount of light that you emit, if it's very low and you can't read, it's just a little bit of light, it probably won't affect them. But otherwise, I would say try to at least have an 8-hour period of darkness.
Another lawn question, Mary. A listener says, our grass is dying in the front yard, and I think we have grubs. Birds are frequently feeding from that area. What do we do to get rid of grubs?
Well, grubs are the immature form of either Japanese beetles or other types of beetles. And yes, the grubs feed on grass roots. So you need to really dig around and see if you've got them. Try to remove a 1 foot square section of your grass and just cut it as a square, and then try to lift it and remove it, and then look in the soil itself under the grass and see if you can count the grubs that are there. So you'll be able to see grubs. They look like digits of our finger. They're big, sometimes gray, sometimes white. And if you can count the number you find in the square footage, that determines whether or not you need to control for them. Some controls are the chemical insecticides that you put into the soil. But first, really examine it and see if you have that many grubs. And then you can go on the extension's website, extension.umn.edu, and look up grub control and the timing for that. So the timing is really critical. It's now or it's in the fall.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking, looking at that forecast, this beautiful weekend, what a great weekend to get to the Arboretum.
Yes, the Arboretum is, so many things are flowering now. The pussy willows are out, and they're beautiful. The spring iris, hellebores, forsythias really blooming now, the early daffodils, and the woodland wildflowers. I saw some snow trilliums out there at the Arboretum the other day. So wonderful place to take a walk and see the spring flowers and hear the spring peepers, the birds, the frogs. As well.
And before we break, register online, basically.
Yes, registering online is still the best thing to do at the Arboretum. Members, longtime members, etc., don't have to register as much anymore. They're just certain days of the week that you do. But the best thing is to go online, get a reservation, then you won't have to worry about parking, and it'll be just easy when you get to the Arboretum, but very easy to register online.
Makes it very efficient. Hang on, Mary. We'll take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have 46 degrees. We could hit near 80 today. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Boy, Mary, we have so many questions. It's that time of year. There's no doubt about that.
It's gardening time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see how many folks we can help out here. This one says, my hydrangea is sending out roots along the top of the soil. Should I cut or cover them?
I don't think I would do either thing. I would, you know, hydrangeas will, especially paniculata, will tend to lay down, branches, low branches will tend to root, and then shoots come up from that. I'd cut off the shoots, but I would not cut off the roots.
Okay. This listener has 3 25-year-old large trees, 2 maple, 1 ash, that all have large roots exposed. I'm wondering, Texter says, if it's okay to cover these exposed roots with the black soil.
No, the tree is screaming, no, don't do it, don't do it. That's uncomfortable for us to see those roots and makes it rough to do lawn mowing and things like that. But those roots like the oxygen level that's near the top of the soil. So I would refrain from that. 2 inches is the absolute maximum of anything to put on top of roots. And if you have to do something, think about maybe a mulch that has more air spaces in it, but soil, no, don't do that.
All right. Liz Texter says, when can I plant calla lily and Asiatic lily bulbs?
Well, Asiatic lilies, they're often hardy. They're a good bet for us. So you can plant those, yes, right now they're in the store. The callas won't usually live through our winter, but they're more cold sensitive. It's a little early to plant the callas. I would wait till we're closer into May and the soil is warm, because many of those warm season bulbs, they're not going to grow when it's cool. They need the really warm temperatures. Asiatics, you could put those in now because they'll live through the winter. But I'd wait a couple more weeks in the callas. But, you know, it really depends on rather than have them dry out and sit in somewhere, if your soil feels warm enough when you touch it, you could go ahead and plant them. They'll just be a slower start.
Okay. Let's see. We see, Texter says, we see nothing sprouting from our dormant seeding. Can we just put more seed down now? Also, is this the weekend a good time to fertilize?
Well, you could put more seed down, but I think it's really early yet to see a lot from dormant seeding. We need 2-3 weeks of nice warm temperatures and moisture. So I would say, you know, you could wait till the middle of May to decide whether or not your dormant seeding has worked. Putting down more seed right now, you could do that, but it's really, you know, it's almost not necessary. Oh, what was the other part of that question?
Fertilize.
Oh, fertilize now? You know, fertilizer isn't the limiting thing. It's warm temperatures and moisture. And so fertilizer, it's still cool for that to really be needed and necessary. I guess I'd wait a couple more weeks to fertilize.
Okay. This listener asks, can dogwood be trimmed down now or wait?
You can trim dogwood now. You'll be cutting off the flowers if you have the alternifolia, the flowering dogwood. But dogwood responds really well to pruning. If you have like the red twig or yellow twig dogwood, yes, you can go ahead and prune that now.
All right. This texter, Mary, says, should dahlia tubers be soaked before planting?
No, you don't need to do that. That's too risky that they would actually get too soggy and start to rot. So many people do plant their dahlia tubers in pots, give them a head start before they put them outside. But no, don't soak them.
Okay. This listener has a shallow hole in their yard from a maple that had to be removed. Their question is, can I just fill it in with some bags of topsoil and plant a lawn seed, or should I add something else to it?
If I were you with the topsoil, if you can mix it into the existing soil so you don't have a layer there of two different kinds of soil, do that. But yes, buying some topsoil, mixing it with the existing soil you have and sowing, that's a good thing to do. Yes.
Okay. This listener sent a text asking, is it too early to plant native grass seed for big and little blue stem and Indian grass? Is it too early?
No, you could go ahead and do that now. Those seeds will germinate when the soil gets warmer. But yes, I would say you could go ahead and do that now. Yeah.
Couple of listeners, as you know, we have smart listeners, so always ask, offering advice. And as far as that mulch, you know, kind of on that small incline.
Oh, the slope.
Was kind of,
yeah.
Uh-huh. A couple of folks said they've had good luck with cypress mulch on a hillside, but water it in well after you put it down. So there's a hint. there.
Yeah, so certain mulches might make their own, you know, they stick together better so that they won't break up. And many times just with age, as they start to decompose, they'll kind of lock together better. But Cypress, that's good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Quick final one. What do I do, Texter says, about sprouting acorns all over my lawn?
Oh, you'll just have to cut those off with a lawnmower or think about transplanting a couple of those to keep as existing trees. So we always need more and more trees with such the loss of the ash trees. So, but otherwise, just they'll mow them off. They'll be gone with a lawnmower.
Final reminder, get to the Arboretum if you can, and also check out the university's website, right, Mary?
Yes, extension.umn.edu. Lots of great tips there for gardening in the spring. Pruning videos, many things to watch. What weed is this? What insect is this? So a great resource at extension.umn.edu.
Fantastic. Yeah, get to the Arboretum. Mary, always a pleasure. Thanks for all your help as usual.
Oh, wonderful to talk about gardening. Thank you, Denny.
You bet. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Now, next hour, Andy Lindis will be answering any particular home improvement question you may have. So get those home improvement questions ready for next hour. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Nice day, nice weekend here in the Twin Cities. We expect highs today near 79, near 72 tomorrow. Stay with us. News Talk 830. WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. I am joined this morning from the University of Minnesota. Mary Meyer is back with us. Hi, Mary.
Danny, good morning. I think it's spring now, for real.
I think it's safe to say you are correct. Yes, a beautiful day. In fact, it's going to be a great weekend. And the good news is, for those of us who are, and there are many, who want some rain, and I think we're going to get it this coming week, so that's good news.
Yes, very good news for gardeners.
Absolutely. My lawn could really use it, too, as a matter of fact. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Mary, and you know, if you're a regular listener, you know how busy we get during this hour. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Mary, we're already getting a ton of text messages just before you went on the air here. Here is the very first one. Texter says, jumping the gun maybe a bit, but should I start to see my dormant seed grass begin to sprout, and should I be watering on warm days like today?
Yes, we should expect to see dormant seeding. You know, we had the longest period ever to do dormant seeding, I think, this past few months. And yes, as soon as we have the soil temperatures are getting close to 50 degrees now, and air temperature like in the 70s today, wow, we should start to see some germination. Now, many of the grasses, Kentucky bluegrass, the fescues, even when you get to the right temperature, it can take 2 to 3 weeks for the seed to actually germinate and show up. But it will start to show it now. And, you know, we've been lucky. We've had a couple of rains, another one predicted. But if your soil is sandy and light, I would consider watering if it doesn't rain. Yes.
Good point. I am starting to see, yesterday I was looking at where I had done some dormant seeding. So some of it is sprouting. So that's good news. This listener, Mary, said, we should talk a little bit about this. Can I have my lawn dethatched now in April? What is the idea of dethatching, and is it necessary?
It might be necessary. We usually recommend it in the fall because you get the best results. The grass itself grows stronger roots in the fall. But this, you can do it if you have a really thick lawn. So if you walk on your lawn and it's really thick and it's spongy, if you try to dig down in it, and it's hard, it's difficult because there's so much plant material, which is the buildup that's called thatch. If you think it's it's a couple inches to you can get to some soil, then yes, it's a good idea to use rent a dethatcher. Rarely does an individual have that, but you can rent them, and they either do slits or they actually do the aeration of throwing out plugs of soil so that it opens up your lawn. But not every lawn needs it. I've only done it, I think, once in 30 years on my lawn because I don't have a big thatch buildup. But yeah, so I would examine it. You can look more on the extension website and you can see a discussion about thatch and pictures of it.
Yes, indeed. Extension.umn.edu. We'll be mentioning that throughout the show. Mary, let's get a phone call in here. George is checking in from Osseo this morning, I believe. George, thank you, George. What is your question for Mary?
Good, beautiful Saturday morning, folks. I've been curious and contemplating taking cuttings from willow trees. I've seen it online and stuff where you clip about 18 inches off of a willow and then just put it in water, and they put out some roots and put it into soil, and you have yourself a willow tree. Sounds pretty simple. And they said snip off all the little leaves and stuff going up to the tip of it. Any suggestions you have for types of soil, perhaps fluid that I'd put around for the initial rootings, and then planning on planting these in number over in like about a 4-acre place in over by the Wisconsin Dells, and just any tips you have for just that type of action to create more willow trees.
Yes. George, that's a great idea. I've been trying to do that with pussy willows, with the salix, the willow that's native. But with weeping willow, if that's one you want to try, that's fine as well. So I usually try to get these to root in water first, but a commercial person would do it in soil or a sand, a light media, and a commercial person would have one of these mist timers on, like you see in the vegetable produce department, that, you know, every couple of minutes the mist comes on. So you need a really moist environment to get these to root. I don't have a mist system, so I have tried and been successful doing this in water. But the another thing you need that would really help you is a rooting hormone. And you could buy these in garden center stores. It's a powder that has the hormone on that you dip the end of the cutting in and then put that in soil, and that helps it to root more quickly. So, and then I would not take the foliage off. You talked about taking the leaves off. Only if you have an excess amount of leaves and you're doing this in the summer. But in the spring now, as things are starting to grow, I would leave the get a cutting that has some visible buds on it, and then just they will push out on their own. And they need those leaves to grow in order to produce the roots. So you could try water, you could try rooting hormone in a light potting soil and keep it in a moist environment. You could even try putting the whole pot in a plastic bag to keep it moist environment. You could even try putting the whole pot in a plastic bag to keep it moist environment. Willows are fairly easy to root, so good luck with that.
All right, very good. Texter says this, Mary, I recently bought a ZZ plant. You'll have to tell me what that is. What should I know about watering and the light conditions?
A ZZ plant is a great indoor plant. The botanical name of both the genus and the epithet, they both start with Z. So rather than say the long botanical name, ZZ plant is an easy name for it. It has a plasticky look to me. It's very, very shiny leaves, but extremely easy to grow indoors. Doesn't need much water, has a big thick leaf to it and a huge stem that holds a lot of water. And it's very tolerant of low light. So I would say you could put it in almost any window in your house. It doesn't have to have direct sunlight, but it does need light that's good enough to read by. And then watering, I would not water it very often. When you do water, depending on the size of the pot, it might be every 10 days it needs watered, and just don't overwater it.
Okay. A listener says, can I transplant rhubarb this weekend, and when can I transplant a hardy hibiscus?
Yes, you could do both of those. Right now, this weekend. Either of those. The transplanting rhubarb now might affect the production of it this spring, but and you can probably see it starting to grow, so you know exactly where it is. And the hardy hibiscus, same thing, you can transplant that now.
Very good. Mary, hang on. We'll take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on our Lawn and Garden Show, our Smart Garden Show. Call us or text us with your lawn and garden question at 651-461-9226. Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those very questions this morning here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, let's, we mentioned it just a bit ago, but let's bring to light that great U of M website, extension.umn.edu. It is so full of great information.
Yes, tons of information and lots of new seasonal information. We have some new guides for pruning shrubs that are up there, new pages on weeds and lawns. Lots of people will be out working on their lawns now. So just a tremendous number of resources. And you can always sign up for the Yard and Garden newsletter, which is an e-newsletter that comes out regularly with timely tips. So yes, extension.umn.edu.
It is so great. You know what else is great? Our listeners. We have tons of them by phone and by text, Mary. So let's get back to business. Lynn's calling in first up here from White Bear Lake. Hi, Lynn. What is your question?
Good morning. My daughter has two peony bushes, and we need to relocate them. Could we do that this weekend?
You can if you're in a pinch, yes. We usually recommend moving peonies in the fall of the year because that's when they're really dormant. But you can do it now. You will probably sacrifice their blooming this spring. Just remember that peonies have a root system that is huge. It is huge, and it's hard to get all of it. It's a great big thick root system. You'll think you're digging up a tree when you start moving peonies, but just get as much as possible. Try to plant the roots the same depth they were growing before, because peonies are sensitive about how deep they're planted. But good luck with that.
Texter says this, Mary, when you put grass seed down in the fall, you're supposed to not let it dry out for a few weeks. Texter says, I did a little dormant seeding this winter. Now that it's warming up, should I be following that same protocol and keep it moist?
Yes. Actually, I don't usually recommend watering a dormant seed in the fall because you really don't want it to start growing.
Right.
You don't want it to wash away and go somewhere else, and sometimes moisture helps it to work it into the soil. But usually, you just want to get it down there, and then it will on its own take up moisture in the winter and then be a head start, kind of a head start for the spring. So if you feel it's really dry, you can water it now, because now, from now on, we should have sufficiently warm temperatures that any lawn seed that germinates, it's not going to die from extreme cold.
Right. All right. Again, 651-461-9226, a text or a call. Speaking of phone calls, Ken is calling in from Blaine this morning. Ken, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've had a large bed of passandra that survived winters. You know, passandra doesn't normally lose their foliage in the wintertime, but this year it's just destroyed. The winter, I think it's the winter, destroyed the bed of Pachycendra. Now there's just the stems and so forth that are dead, and it's just a mess. Now, is there root that will grow this spring that are still active or not?
I think so, Ken. Yes, Pachycendra is one of our good broadleafed evergreen ground covers. It can get a disease called anthracnose, which is a foliage disease. And last summer, I had, believe it or not, with the weather conditions, what they were, anthracnose was rampant in my Pachycendra last year. But the roots and a lot of the stolons or the stems that root are still okay. Usually it will just kill back the foliage on it. So I think that you will be okay. You know, we want these plants to have moisture for their roots, but moisture on foliage is tough to, and that encourages anthracnose on Pachycendra. So if you do any watering, make sure that it's deep and not very frequent. But I think your Pachycendra will come back because anthracnose is usually more of a nuisance, killing the top off and not fatal.
All right. Listener says or asks, is it too late to prune plum trees, apple trees, or grapevines?
No, I would go ahead and do that. Once we get into the foliage coming out and so on, it's less effective than it is if you do it early. But pruning in our fruit trees is really important to help get fruit and to have fruit every year instead of every other year. So I would go ahead and do that now.
Another listener, Mary, wants to know, is it too early to transplant a shrub rose and a sedum plant?
You can do that now. The soil is still cool. With a shrub rose, I think you can easily see the stems on that, and probably the sedum too. My sedum has started to grow. So sometimes early transplanting, it's hard to tell where is that plant, you know, but, yes, you can do both of those right now.
Mary, a listener bought a dry root peony bush tuber that they bought at the Home and Garden Show. Can they plant that now?
Yes, I would definitely plant that now. Yes, the State Horticulture Society had a lot of plants, bare root plants, and yes, you should go ahead and plant those now. The sooner you plant them, the better, because anything that's bare root, it's really hard for that plant to survive indefinitely in a plastic bag. So, yeah, go ahead and plant that.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Bill is calling in this morning from Vadnais Heights, I believe. Hi, Bill. What is your question for Mary?
I'll be putting in some mulch in an area that has a gentle slope, and I'm wondering what I can put on top of that to hold it in place, keep it from washing away in a rain.
That's a good question, Bill. Usually we hope the mulch will stay there and keep the soil from eroding. Other than plants or some rocks, etc., I'm hard pressed to tell you what else to put on there. So I guess the amount, I would not put a huge amount of it on, a smaller amount of it. And hopefully it won't wash away. You said it's a gradual, and so good luck. I would just not put a lot of it. And if really what will hold the soil with erosion are plants. So putting some plants in is the best idea.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Before we break for weather, let's grab another phone call. Barb calling in from Maplewood this morning. Hi, Barb. What's your question for Mary Meyer?
Well, I don't have a question, but I have an interesting story about rabbits and petunias.
Okay.
Now that we're starting to plan our gardens again, 4 years ago during COVID, I discovered three new colors of petunias at the nurseries. One was a burnt gold, another was orange, and another was called cinnamon. And I love this color, and I bought them and planted them in a formal garden in front of my orange front double doors. And I love the design of it. And well, during COVID, my garden was absolutely gorgeous. And I mixed them with coleus of different shades of rust and bright green. Well, the second year, I did the same. And all of a sudden, the petunias were chewed to the ground overnight. And I replaced every one of them 5 times, which was foolish, but I was determined to have the same look. The third year and last year, I discovered that cinnamon was the favorite. And they tried the other colors, but spit them out. But the cinnamon were chewed right to the ground. And last year, I was determined that I was going to solve this problem. And I bought 6 yards of mosquito netting and covered them every night, uncovered them every morning. And the bunnies had tried to chew above the cinnamon color. And so there were little holes there, but didn't have any luck getting them out. So I was very happy about that. Well, let's see. After the first snow this year, the snow started melting, and I saw this gray rock in that same area where the petunias were. And I uncovered it, and the snow melted. And it wasn't a rock. It was a large dead rabbit.
Hmm.
Right on the spot where all these petunias had been. So anyway, if anybody plants these colors of petunias and they disappear, get some mosquito netting, and that's what you got to do to have them looking nice. This year I'm going to put them on shepherd's hooks up so I don't have to go into the garden.
What a story.
What a story, Barb. Thanks for your perseverance with the wildlife.
Oh, those rabbits, they are wily. Mary, hang on. We're going to have a look at that forecast. Looks pretty nice, and I think we're going to get some showers. We will find out. And then we'll be back with more Smart Garden here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. This morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those particular lawn and garden questions. We have many, so many this morning. Generally speaking, this texture, I'm sure there are a few others similar. Looking for grass seed. A lot of places, stores are having certain grass seed on sale. This person doesn't know anything about what they're looking for. What should you be looking for around these parts? What types of grass seed for our lawns?
Well, this is a great question for this time of year because, as we talked about earlier, the soil temperatures are just getting right for grass seed germination. So we still rely on three big ones here in cool season grass territory: Kentucky bluegrass, fine fescues, and perennial ryegrass. So all three of those are pretty expensive grass seed. So the really inexpensive grass seed, if you find something, you know, for $2 or £2 for $2 or something like that, that's probably an annual grass. It's not really one of the ones that will live and come back year after year for your lawn. So grass seed is expensive. So paying for it is worth it. It's also, the law requires the label to really tell you what's in there. So you can can get a sunny lawn mix. It's a combination of Kentucky bluegrass, fine fescue, and perennial rye usually. And a shady lawn mix is usually the fine fescue. So depending on your site, you can look for those and get a combination of seed, and then it will kind of sort itself out depending on what your site is. You know, one thing to go along with this, Denny, we haven't talked about this, is the crabgrass control.
Oh, yeah.
And now is the time to do crabgrass control, because that's a pre-emergent. So you put this chemical down and it prevents crabgrass seed from germinating. Crabgrass is just an annual. You cannot use grass seed that you want to grow and the pre-emergent control together. So you have to choose, do I want to sow grass seed or do I want to control crabgrass? But we just have this short window of a few weeks. It's pretty early this year, but the soil temperatures are there where crabgrass will be germinating now. So I would say that this week and next week are prime time to put down the pre-emergent control.
Good point. Listener Mary says, any idea of how to get rid of southern daisies in our raised beds?
Huh, I wonder what southern daisy is. Leucanthropa, maybe, in raised beds. So this is a perennial, but boy, I would just say try digging out the roots as much as possible. Perennials do have a large root system. The other thing I would do is really try to get that plant identified to make sure you know exactly what it is you have. Sometimes with a picture, you can send that in to Ask a Master Gardener. There are also plant ID apps that you can use. iNaturalist is a good one. Sometimes it can tell you what the plant is without the flowers. Having the flowers or really good, the normal size leaves is often important, but I would make sure you know exactly what the plant is.
Okay. Here's an interesting question. Does stringing lights in an apple tree and having them on all night harm the tree or the apples?
It could. Probably not the string itself. What's going to influence the tree is the light and the amount of light emitted by the lights itself. You know, our plants are very sensitive to light. The light and the day length really regulates their growth. 24-hour lighting on plants is often detrimental. It's, you know, it's like they never have a rest period or a down period. So the amount of light that you emit, if it's very low and you can't read, it's just a little bit of light, it probably won't affect them. But otherwise, I would say try to at least have an 8-hour period of darkness.
Another lawn question, Mary. Listener says, our grass is dying in the front yard, and I think we have grubs. Birds are frequently feeding from that area. What do we do to get rid of grubs?
Well, grubs are the immature form of either Japanese beetles or other types of beetles. And yes, the grubs feed on grass roots. So you need to really dig around and see if you've got them. Try to remove a 1 foot square section of your grass and just cut it as a square, and then try to lift it and remove it, and then look in the soil itself under the grass and see if you can count the grubs that are there. So you'll be able to see grubs. They look like digits of our finger. They're big, sometimes gray, sometimes white. And if you can count the number you find in the square footage, that determines whether or not you need to control for them. Mm-hmm. So controls are the chemical insecticides that you put into the soil. But first, really examine it and see if you have that many grubs. And then you can go on the extension's website, extension.umn.edu, and look up grub control and the timing for that. So the timing is really critical. It's now or it's in the fall.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking, looking at that forecast, this beautiful weekend, what a great weekend to get to the Arboretum.
Yes, the arboretum is, gosh, so many things are flowering now. The pussy willows are out. They're beautiful. The spring iris, hellebores, forsythias really blooming now, the early daffodils, and the woodland wildflowers. I saw some snow trilliums out there at the arboretum the other day. So wonderful place to take a walk and see the spring flowers and hear the spring peepers, the birds, the frogs. As well.
And before we break, register online, basically.
Yes, registering online is still the best thing to do with the Arboretum. Members, longtime members, etc., don't have to register as much anymore. They're just certain days of the week that you do. But the best thing is to go online, get a reservation, then you won't have to worry about parking, and it'll be just easy when you get to the Arboretum, but very easy to register online.
Makes it very efficient. Hang on, Mary. We'll take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have 46 degrees. We could hit near 80 today. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Boy, Mary, we have so many questions. It's that time of year. There's no doubt about that.
It's gardening time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see how many folks we can help out here. This one says, my hydrangea is sending out roots along the top of the soil. Should I cut or cover them?
I don't think I would do either thing. I would, you know, hydrangeas will, especially paniculata, will tend to lay down, branches, low branches will tend to root, and then shoots come up from that. I'd cut off the shoots, but I would not cut off the roots.
Okay. This listener has three 25-year-old large trees, two maple, one ash, that all have large roots exposed. I'm wondering, Texter says, if it's okay to cover these exposed roots with the black soil.
No, the tree is screaming, no, don't do it, don't do it. That's uncomfortable for us to see those roots and makes it rough to do lawn mowing and things like that. But those roots like the oxygen level that's near the top of the soil. So I would refrain from that. 2 inches is the absolute maximum of anything to put on top of roots. And if you have to do something, think about maybe a mulch that has more air spaces in it, but soil, no, don't do that.
All right. This texter says, when can I plant calla lily and Asiatic lily bulbs?
Well, Asiatic lilies, they're often hardy. They're a good bet for us. So you can plant those, yes, right now they're in the store. The callas won't usually live through our winter, but they're more cold sensitive. It's a little early to plant the callas. I would wait till we're closer into May and the soil is warm, because many of those warm season bulbs, they're not going to grow when it's cool. They need the really warm temperatures. Asiatics, you could put those in now because they'll live through the winter. But I'd wait a couple more weeks in the callas. But, you know, it really depends on rather than have them dry out and sit in somewhere, if your soil feels warm enough when you touch it, you could go ahead and plant them. They'll just be a slower start.
Okay. Let's see. We see, Texter says, we see nothing sprouting from our dormant seeding. Can we just put more seed down now? Also, is this the weekend a good time to fertilize?
Well, you could put more seed down, but I think it's really early yet to see a lot from dormant seeding. We need 2-3 weeks of nice warm temperatures and moisture. So I would say, you know, you could wait till the middle of May to decide whether or not your dormant seeding has worked. Putting down more seed right now, you could do that, but it's really, you know, it's almost not necessary. Oh, what was the other part of that question?
Fertilize.
Oh, fertilize now? You know, fertilizer isn't the limiting thing. It's warm temperatures and moisture. And so fertilizer, it's still cool for that to really be needed and necessary. I guess I'd wait a couple more weeks to fertilize.
Okay. This listener asks, can dogwood be trimmed down now or wait?
You can trim dogwood now. You'll be cutting off the flowers if you have the alternifolia, the flowering dogwood. But dogwood responds really well to pruning. If you have like the red twig or yellow twig dogwood, yes, you can go ahead and prune that now.
All right. This texter, Mary, says, should dahlia tubers be soaked before planting?
No, you don't need to do that. That's too risky that they would actually get too soggy and start to rot. So many people do plant their dahlia tubers in pots, give them a head start before they put them outside. But no, don't soak them.
Okay. This listener has a shallow hole in their yard from a maple that had to be removed. Their question is, can I just fill it in with some bags of topsoil and plant a lawn seed, or should I add something else to it?
If I were you with a topsoil, if you can mix it into the existing soil so you don't have a layer there of two different kinds of soil, do that. But yes, buying some topsoil, mixing it with the existing soil you have and sowing, that's a good thing to do. Yes.
Okay. This listener sent a text asking, is it too early to plant native grass seed for big and little blue stem and Indian grass? Is it too early?
No, you could go ahead and do that now. Those seeds will germinate when the soil gets warmer. But yes, I would say you could go ahead and do that now. Yeah.
Couple of listeners, as you know, we have smart listeners, so always offering advice. And as far as that mulch, you know, kind of on that small incline.
Oh, the slope.
A couple of folks said they've had good luck with cypress mulch on a hillside, but water it in well after you put it down. So there's a hint. There.
Yeah, so certain mulches might make their own, they stick together better so that they won't break up. And many times just with age, as they start to decompose, they'll kind of lock together better. But cypress, that's good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Quick final one. What do I do, Texter says, about sprouting acorns all over my lawn?
Oh, you'll just have to cut those off with a lawnmower or think about transplanting a couple of those to keep as existing trees. So we always need more and more trees with such the loss of the ash trees. So, but otherwise, they'll mow them off. They'll be gone with a lawnmower.
Final reminder, get to the Arboretum if you can, and also check out the university's website. Right, Mary?
Yes, extension.umn.edu. Lots of great tips there for gardening in the spring. Pruning videos, many things to watch. What weed is this? What insect is this? So a great resource at extension.umn.edu.
Fantastic. Yeah, get to the Arboretum. Mary, always a pleasure. Thanks for all your help as usual.
Oh, wonderful to talk about gardening. Thank you, Denny.
You bet. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Now, next hour, Andy Lindis will be answering any particular home improvement question you may have. So get those home improvement questions ready for next hour. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Nice day, nice weekend here in the Twin Cities. We expect highs today near 79, near 72 tomorrow. Stay with us. News Talk A3. WCCO.